If you work in the United States, you generally get paid, and that's a good thing. But along with giving you a paycheck, more and more employers are offering advice on what to do with it. Marianne McCune from our Planet Money team looks at financial counseling at work.
It turns out being a boss is sometimes like being a social worker. Andrew Rosencrantz says at least two or three times a week, he finds himself sitting across from an employee at his market research firm near Seattle, listening to one or another very difficult to solve problem. Just last week, an employee described how her daughter and baby granddaughter were assaulted by a boyfriend.
And the police were looking for him, and she wanted to come back to Washington State, but she didn't have the money for a plane ticket. And so she was coming to ask, hey, is there anything you can do to help us here?
Conversations like that one, a lot of them, have made Rosencrantz think his employees need more than just an advance on the next paycheck. Over and over again, he says he's seen them make financial choices that will plague them down the line. They borrow at punishing interest rates. Most do not enroll in the company's 401k, even though the firm matches their contributions.
I mean, obviously, the less people who participate, the less we pay. But on the other hand, you know, there's a silliness. It's essentially free money for employees.
And he wishes more of them would take the company's money. So Rosencrantz recently became one of a growing group of employers to offer his staff some time with a financial advisor. A Society for Human Resource Management survey shows a quarter of companies now provide one-on-one financial counseling, and more than half offer one-on-one investment advice, up from about a third 4 years ago.
So the same way you have health insurance or you have life insurance through your employer, you also have access to a financial advisor.
That's Jose Miranda, an on-the-job financial counselor. He works for a credit union called Neighborhood Trust that contracts with employers. Miranda has been working with Rosencrantz's employees, staff at a burger chain, stylists at a hair salon, and with this guy.
My name is Jose Robles.
Robles is the 36-year-old maintenance supervisor at a home care cooperative in the Bronx. And he says in his 20s,
I thought, well, if I borrow from Peter and pay Paul, it was going to work out.
He financed cars without reading the small print. He used credit cards to pay off loans. When he sat down with Miranda for his first session, he had to tell him about the collectors who've been after him ever since, one of whom just won the right in court to deduct $71 from his paycheck every week.
He commented to me that he was really stressed out. He felt like his entire paycheck was going to just his bills and paying his debt, and he couldn't really live like he wanted to.
It wasn't until Miranda helped Robles make a spreadsheet showing what he was earning versus what he was spending that Robles realized he wasn't slowly climbing his way out of debt, as he thought. He was slowly digging himself deeper.
You look at those numbers and you wonder, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I'm spending more than what I'm actually bringing in. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for him to see that. I thought I had it under control, and I didn't.
They looked at everywhere he could cut back, from bowling with his kids to meals out. Miranda's trying to help him save a big enough chunk of money so he can negotiate a lump sum deal with his debt collector and stop borrowing from his 401k. Studies show this kind of financial education, if it's done the right way, really can help people save more and borrow less. And that's great for the employees. But why would employers want to pay for it? Well, a lot of them don't.
I mean, maybe it's occurred to them, but it's like maybe it's not their problem.
John Rogers chaired President Obama's Council on Financial Capability. As he and other advocates of financial education spoke to businesses around the country, they found a lot of reasons employers do want to guide their employees. For example, guilt. As companies replace traditional pensions with retirement accounts that people can't or don't know how to take advantage of, they feel a nagging sense of responsibility. Another commonly cited reason, sometimes people living on the edge are not ideal employees.
You know, people miss days of work. They just can't be as effective. They can't be as productive when they're under enormous stress.
So helping them budget better is good for the business. But though Rogers wishes there were, there is no definitive research to date to show financial education at the workplace does help with the bottom line. It's still a grand experiment. Marianne McCune, NPR News, New York.